I've been asked to speak on the weekend on the subject of love. And since the theme for the weekend that was chosen for me, and the verse that's been chosen, which is up on the wall, is from 1 John, I've decided to base my four talks on that verse in the book. The book of 1 John was written by John, the beloved disciple. He was a brother of James, the son of Zebedee. This book was probably written from Ephesus in the first century 90s, so it's a fairly late writing of the book. And it's written at a time in the history of the church when there's a lot of confusion about what a Christian is. So the issue of what constitutes a Christian is the hot topic that John is writing about, because he tells us in John chapter 5 verse 15 that he has written this book so that I write these things to those who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you know that you have eternal life. I want you to turn to 1 John, please. Now, John, when he writes in a style totally different from the Apostle Paul. John doesn't write the way that Paul writes. Paul, when he writes in logical terms. In other words, Paul writes like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the way Paul writes. John writes 1, 3, 7, 2, 9, 5, 4. And so when you read Paul, you can follow the way he's thinking. John doesn't write like that. He writes a bit all over the place. And so what I'm going to do this week is I'm going to read a chapter of this book each time we get together for worship. But I'm not going to do what we normally do and work our way through that chapter. I'm just going to take sections out of the book that speak about our theme of love. Okay? So if when we read this first chapter, you expect me to go through the chapter the way we normally do, that's not what's going to happen. I'm letting you know up front. We're going to be dipping into different bits of it to find out based on our theme. But let's read 1 John chapter 1 together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. John says there are three ways that you can work out whether you're a Christian or not. There's three things that John talks about in this book that tells us or measures up whether you are a Christian or not. There are three things that you can look at and say, this book says, do I measure up to these three things? And if I measure up to all these three things, then I'm a Christian. If I don't measure up to these three things, then I'm not a Christian. The first thing he says, he talks about, is what I've called a theological test, basically. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He says in chapter 2, verse 23, he says, no one who denies the Son has a Father. whoever confesses the Father has the Son also. So that's the first test. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation, then you are a Christian. The second test is a moral test. John says in chapter 2, verse 3, if we do what God wants us to do, then we know that we're a Christian. If we read the Bible and God says, do this, do this, do this, and we do this and do this and do this. If God says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and we don't do this, and we don't do this, and we don't do this, then we know we're a Christian. And the third test is what I have entitled a social test. Do we love God and do we love one another? These people weren't sure whether or not they were Christians. They believed they were Christians, but some people were writing stuff and telling them stuff that made them think, well, maybe I'm not a Christian. And John says to them, here's three simple tests. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation? If you do, then you're on the road to being a Christian. If you don't, then you're not on the road to being a Christian. Do you believe, secondly, that you must obey what God says? He says, if you believe that and do that, then you're on the road to being a Christian. If you don't do what God says, then you're not on the road to being a Christian. And the third test is, do you love God and do you love one another? And it's that third test that I've been asked to speak about this weekend. And I want to look at this weekend at love. I want to look at the source of love. I want to look at our response to love. I want to look at the practice of love. And I want to look at the results of love. The source of love, the response to love, the practice of love, and the results of love. Let's begin then with the source of love. Everyone in the world likes the word love. It's a word that engenders warm and tender feelings. It's a word that has dominated the world of man through every generation since the beginning of time. Songs have been written about love. Poems have been written about love. Pictures have been painted to represent love. Gifts have been given to convey love. Cakes have been baked in the name of love. Love permeates all of our society and has done through all the generations of man. Love is all around us. But what is love? Where does love come from? How do we define love? What is love? Remember that famous statement of Prince Charles when they were getting engaged? Do you love her? Yes, whatever love means. In attempting to answer the question, we have to step outside the world of man if we're going to find the true source of love. The love we hear about day to day covers a multitude of feelings and emotions. A man comes home from his work, sits down at his table. His wife is there. Three children are there. He looks at her, pushes the plate away across the table, and he says, I'm leaving. She looks at him and says, what? He says, I'm leaving. She says to the children, go and watch the TV. She looks at him and says, you're leaving. Why are you leaving? Because I love another woman. I love another woman. A young woman becomes pregnant. She wants to abort that baby. She comes to someone who says to her, I think you should think about this. This is a serious matter. It has repercussions for you and the child. She takes that conversation to another person, a social services caring individual. And they come to the person who has given her the advice that she shouldn't abort the child and say, "How could you be so unloving as to counsel her to keep that child? Surely the best thing, if you love this girl, is to let her do with this child, this fetus, as she pleases." This is love. In our society, this is love. Love is what man wants to make of it. "I love you," when it really means, "I want to get into bed with you." "I love you," when it means, "Leave me alone so I can do my own thing." There's as many definitions of love as there are people in this room. Because love, when it's sifted through the heart and the mind of man, is not purified, but it is destroyed. Destroyed by man's sin. And if we want to know the true definition of love, if we want to know what real love is, then there's only one source where we can find that, and that is in God, because He is perfect. John uses the word love 46 times in the epistle. The five chapters of this book. And what we find is two things. First, love originates in God. If you've got your Bible open, look at chapter 4 and verse 7. Chapter 4 and verse 7. That's the 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." Love is from God. What's that saying? It's saying that love has its origin, has its source in God. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Love is sourced in God. If you don't get that, you'll not get anything else of what I say for the rest of this weekend. Because we are so dominated by the concept of love being that which we hear from men. And that's not the truth. Love originates in God. Well, you say, "I know that. Everything comes from God after all. God made everything. There's nothing that doesn't come from God. There's nothing on the face of this earth that God did not create. None of us are here tonight were not for the fact that God's giving us the breath to breathe in our bodies at this moment. Everything comes from God. So if everything comes from God, then love must also come from God." No, it's different. God made all of His creation, but His creation lives, in a sense, separated from Him to a degree. Love is God. The very essence of God's being is love. Every aspect of God's character is love. He doesn't simply just make love like He made the universe. He is love. And just as we don't say the universe is God, so we do say God is love. That's who He is. For all eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have lived together in one holy, loving communion. Communicating together, sharing together, living and loving together. And this is the reason why we can tell people about the reality of love. Pushing the plate across the table saying, "I'm leaving because I love someone else." That's not love. That's not love. We have the opportunity to tell people about love that is real. Because God is real. And because God is real, and He is love, then love is real. So when we come to study this concept of love, We're not talking about some airy-fairy, nebulous, beautiful thing. It's nice that we've all got hearts on our wee name badges. But as we shall see, the heart doesn't really reflect the truth about what love is. Love is a much more intense and real thing than just a heartfelt affection. And it is that because love finds its origin and its source in God. A very simplistic truth, and yet a truth that has profound implications for each one of us. The second thing I want to say about love is that love is revealed in Jesus Christ. We accept the fact that God is love. But how can we know what God's love is? God is not with us on earth. So if He is love, how can we have an appreciation for what love really is? Well, John gives us the answer in chapter 4 and verse 9, and we have it on the wall. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. You want to learn about love and what it is, John says, look at the life and especially look at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the revelation of what love truly is. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. In this, the love of God was revealed to us. In this, the love of God was made known to mankind. In this, the love of God is shown to the world. He sent His only Son into the world. Here, in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have love spelt out. Real love. True love. Genuine love. Not the love that says, I just want from you. Not the love that says, come here and be with me for a month or a year or 10 years or 15 years. Not a love that says, come and let's be together, let's do something, or don't touch me, or don't do this, or don't do that. Not that sort of love that begs that I want something from you. That's not the sort of love we're talking about here. That's not the sort of love that the world needs. The world's full of that taking that calls itself love. We've all seen it. We've all heard about it. We all read about it in newspapers. Love that spelt not me giving to you, but love that spelt me taking from you. The reality of love is seen in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's what love is. This is how God revealed Himself. And that's why it's so serious to reject the truth concerning who Jesus Christ is. You see, when someone hears about Jesus Christ, and someone hears about their need of salvation, when someone hears that they are a sinner, and someone knows that the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ, and when that person hears that and says, I don't want to hear that nonsense. Don't want to hear that religious talk. Then the reason why that is so serious is not simply that they're rejecting the death of God's Son. What they are doing is throwing back in God's face His love. His love. Here is the only source of love in the world. Here is where love originates in the world. And when a man or a woman or a young person says, I don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear about my need of salvation. I don't want to hear any talk of me being a sinner. I don't want to hear any talk of me going to a lost eternity. I don't want to hear of hell. Don't mention that word in my presence, please. I don't want to hear of God's giving of His Son that I might live for all eternity. What they are rebuffing, what they are rejecting, is not simply the act of God in His death at Calvary and His Son. What they're saying to God is, I don't want your love. I don't want your giving love. I don't want your true love. 15 years ago, a British Midland Airways flight flying from, I think it was Birmingham to Belfast, crashed. Northern Ireland, didn't it crash? Was it in Northern Ireland? It was in England. England. A number of people from Northern Ireland were killed, and many of them were injured. One of those who were seriously injured was a young woman called Ruth McCallion. She was travelling on her flight back with her seven-month-year-old son, Ryan. She was a nurse herself, and she worked in the Newton Arch Hospital. She worked with deaf people. And as she lay in one of the hospitals in England, her body broken, literally, to smithereens, in awful, awful pain. Her fingers were moving on the bed. And one of the nurses caring for her noticed that there was a rhythm to the movement of her fingers. It wasn't just a simple bang, bang, bang. There was a movement, a rhythm to it. And she called in a nurse who could read sign language. And what she was tapping out was the words Ryan, question mark. Ryan, question mark. A young woman in awful, awful pain, and yet arising up from deep within her being, what did she want to know about? Ryan, question mark. Ryan, question mark. I'm dying, but what about Ryan? Now, does that not move you? Every time I think about that, it moves me. In pain and agony, and what she's tapping out is R-Y-A-N, question mark. R-Y-A-N, question mark. Love. Love of a mother for a child. Now, if I was to bring Ruth McCallion here tonight, you wouldn't laugh at her. You wouldn't say, you are a stupid woman. You wouldn't say, how silly. If Ruth McCallion was to speak to you, you wouldn't walk away from her and say, I don't want to speak to you, Ruth. And yet God comes to us and dispels out Arnium. And He says, I love you in Christ. I love you in Christ. I have given my Son. I have made manifest my love in Christ to you. And I'm asking you tonight, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus, we're not going to laugh in His face, sure or not. We know what that love is. We know the reality of that love. If you're here tonight and you don't love Jesus Christ, are you going to laugh at God? Are you going to laugh at Him? Are you going to make light of His love? Are you going to say to me, I don't want to hear? My friend, you're not saying, I don't want to hear to Andrew Quigley. You're saying, I don't want to hear the God who has given you life, the God who has given you life at this moment, and the God who can give you eternal life. God is the only source of love, and He has made that manifest in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for your love for us. We thank you for the revelation of that love. We thank you that love is perfect. We live in a world where love is spelt in many different ways and many different guises. But we thank you that you, Lord God, are the true source of love. We thank you that you have revealed that love to us. You've made it known to us. You've made it manifest through sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die, that we who should die for all eternity may live. And Lord God, as we begin this weekend, we pray that we may know of this love, that we may taste of the reality of this love, that we may enjoy the truth of this love, and that this may be a great weekend because we experience the love of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.